Well, hello there. Welcome along to the RTÉ Soccer Podcast. Thanks for joining us on your platform of choice. I'm Adrian Eames. This is the 16th edition of the year of this podcast, and we're joined by Carl Shepherd and also by James O'Toole. We'll be hearing from Mark Rossiter on the big Dublin derby over the course of the weekend, Shamrock Rovers emerging victorious against Bohemians. We'll also hear from Tommy Barrett, excellent start to the First Division campaign for Treaty United, and Áine O'Gorman on Piemont's 100% start to the Women's National League. But James, how are you getting on?
Not too bad, Adrian. How are you on this, what was a sunny weekend?
Oh, yeah, wasn't it glorious?
It was absolutely fantastic.
Wasn't it glorious, James? Were you out there?
No. But you seem to be having trouble with the old setting sun in Sligo on Saturday, were you?
Not too bad. Not too bad with the sun. Look at it. It's a good complaint. It's not too often we get to complain about the sunshine in Ireland, but it was beaming down on myself and the boy Joey, which was fun.
Yeah, Joey's become fun. A bit of an instant hit, hasn't he, as a co-com. I'm not too sure whatever time we put this out at during the day or whatever. This is definitely, if you have any Joey highlights in here, it has to be after 9 p.m. watershed, doesn't it?
Yeah, he was certainly getting excited, let's put it that way, Shep.
Yeah, he was. I suppose it was very entertaining to listen to Joey. He certainly made a dull game, I suppose, slightly more entertaining anyway.
Yeah, he did that for sure. Hey, here's the thing as well, James. Last Tuesday, I was up in Derry for the game against Dundalk. And I actually thought of you because I presume you're a bit of a Spotify man, are you?
I am, yeah. I always have Spotify on, always.
And roughly, at a guess, how many tracks would you have saved on your Spotify? Oh, I'm going somewhere with this, don't worry.
Janie Mac, I have no idea.
Yeah, roughly.
Oh, yeah. Thousands, okay. I would suggest.
Yeah, and yeah. Same as. So I pulled up at the Brandywell ahead of the Dundalk match, and you know, nowadays you can't just rock in whenever you like. You have to wait till a certain time because of COVID restrictions and the whole testing procedure. So I had to sit in the car, and I literally just stopped the car. I had the Spotify on shuffle, and literally just after I pulled up, this happened. Are you getting that?
Yeah. Opening bars, probably the most famous opening bars of a track ever.
Yeah, the team, the undertones, Teenage Kicks, which the Derry team walk out to, and I thought, yeah. Wow, what about that? What are the chances?
Well, thank God it wasn't Sunday at the Brandy by Felix Healy, because that would have been completely odd if that had popped up on your Spotify.
Anyway, Derry have a new manager, of course, in Rory Higgins. We'll be chatting about that very shortly. We'll get James' thoughts on the appointment. But I tell you what we'll do. We'll round up the weekend action. In fact, we'll be hearing from Rory Higgins a little bit later on. But let's start our roundup of the weekend at Finn Park in Ballybuffet on Friday night. Finn Harps 0, St. Pat's 2. A very efficient performance from St. Pat's, with goals in either half from Billy King and a first for the club for Matty Smith. No complaints from Ollie Horgan, the Hearts boss. We'll hear from him shortly. But first, let's hear from Alan Matthews of St. Pat's.
Terrific performance, and it's great that we've come up here and got 3 points. I think when you're on a run, you want to maintain it and keep it going for as long as you possibly can. And we knew exactly that we're facing into a really tough task here today. So I thought our performance was professional and played some good football, but absolutely delighted. Going home now with 3 points in the bag.
And 2 goals, very well taken, one in either half. The first from Billy King, great finish from the edge of the area. Matty Smith scoring the second, his first for the club. 2 impressive goals and well worked.
Yeah, they were. Rolling slide for Billy was exceptional. But we played well when we had possession. We mixed the game up. Billy came in and done terrific. And when you have good players prepared to work as hard as they can, you get opportunities. And again, for the second goal, good bit of play, terrific pick out from Ronan, and Matty gets the head on it. And overall, as I said, we're delighted to go back down with 3 points in the bag.
And defensively, very solid. Harps threw a lot at you without really creating any clear-cut opportunities, but the defence was so well organised, weren't they?
Yeah, again, it's no secret that Harps would have a lot of big guys and we're playing an awful lot on set play, so we knew exactly again what we're going into. It's easier said than done. We stood up to the challenge, and I thought all our defenders, when they were back and asked to defend, they stood up to the challenge really, really well. And then we showed good composure to work our way out defence as well. So all aspects of the game, you know, you have to fight and scrap, and you can't play the beautiful game all the time. I thought we showed a lot of components of the match in this match tonight.
Ollie, any quibbles about the outcome of that one?
No, have you?
No.
No complaints. We probably were outbattled, outplayed, outfought. and the better side won. No complaints. Maybe it was a game too much in the week, but we can't go blaming officials tonight, or we can't go blaming, you know, a ricochet of a goal on that Pat's deserve. To be fair, there was nothing in it for a half an hour. When they got the goal, you know, I thought they played when they had to, and I thought they defended when they had to. Unfortunately, we didn't really play until the last 20 minutes, and we didn't really defend properly compared to them either. So, no, we move on, and that's the nature of it.
But your players did have a right good goal. The issue, though, being that really struggled to create anything. Wasn't that the issue?
Yeah, we huffed and puffed there for the last 20, 25 minutes. Now, at the same time, you know, probably Pats didn't create anything for the first half an hour either. First goal is crucial in this division, and they got it. But we're not complaining, you know. They're up at the top of the table for a reason. They've kicked on from last year, and Stephen has brought in players that have added to them, and credit to them, and they'll be there, and they'll be at that end of the table come the end, I'm sure.
Well, that's Ollie Horgan. Dundalk finally got their first win of the season, a 2-1 win over Drogheda in the Big Louth Derby at Oriel Park. David McMillan, and a first for the club for Han. Tim Clancy, the Drogheda boss, shortly. But first, Dundalk sporting director, Jim McGilton.
It was a very difficult game. Drogheda were excellent, and I deserve all the plaudits that will come their way. But it's about us at the moment, and for periods we were good, for periods not so good. But today was all about getting a win, and we got that.
First half, you bossed the game. I thought you played some lovely football, and the goal was special. At that stage, you deserved it. But what happened in the second half? It was like a different game.
Yeah, I just think nerves, confidence, even though you've got a very experienced changing room, confidence is low because you haven't won a game. And even though you would expect us to kick on, we mentioned at half-time, don't allow lethargy to creep in, and it kind of way did. But listen, you got to give Drogheda credit. I thought they were excellent. They pressed the game. They were snapping at people's heels. They showed quality. And for 20 minutes, they were better. And we had to make changes, and I think the changes helped us. But there's massive learnings for us from the second half, and we'll take that on board. But listen, the onus was on winning, and the pressure was on winning, and we did that, as I say, and small steps.
Tim, from the neutral's point of view, that was a cracking game of football, but you've come out with no points. How do you feel about that?
Disappointed. Listen, we're coming up here, I think the table, everyone knew the table was a little bit false with the points, tally that Dundalk had accumulated by this stage, but listen, they're a very, very good team. With Shamrock Rovers, I still think they're the two best teams in the country. And we've played both of them in the space of 4 days there, full-time teams. They've got the best of everything, and I think even fitness levels there at the end of the game, we're the ones that are pushing again. So, again, a load of positives, but I don't want positives, I want points.
Second half, you were by far the better team. You had all the territory, you had all the corners. You got the goal near the end, but by then it was too late.
Yeah, and that's it. That's something we look at. But again, there's a lot of positives to take, and I've said it previously, I'll say it again, that we're not going to be defined by our results against Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk. But again, we've showed that we're capable of competing with the best teams in this league, and we've got to try and turn our good performances into points.
That's Tim Clancy at the Showgrounds. A winning start for Rory Higgins as Derry boss. He was announced as Derry manager on Thursday, succeeding Declan Devine. A poor game with Will Patching scoring the only goal of the game from the spot to give Derry their first win of the season. In due course, we'll hear from Rory Higgins, but here's the Sligo Rovers manager, Liam Buckley.
Disappointed. We're just going to reflect back on our performance. Albeit, I mean, they didn't do a lot to win the game tonight. We've given a stupid penalty away. That said, in the final third, our creativity, our crossing, our finishing, our chances, we need to have that better.
Why do you think that was? Because it's like chalk and cheese compared to the game against Bulls on Tuesday night.
Yeah, listen, I don't know whether it's fatigue with a tour game in a week. I don't know, or whether it's people just keeping their position and playing to their positions, etc., etc. But we just didn't do enough in the final tour. I thought in the first half we were very, very good, playing it up in the back for the first two tours. In the final tour, we just needed to tidy that up.
Can you pinpoint or put your finger on why, perhaps in the final third,
just our positioning, our opportunity to create, get enough crosses in, get enough shots off, linking our front men, we just didn't do enough of that today. As you can see, we just didn't create enough chances. As much of the ball we had in the first half, as well as we probably played this season, patches for the first two tours, but after that, we just were, well, we'll get that right.
Derry boss Rory Higgins to come a little later. At the RSC, it finished Waterford 1, Longford Town 0. Prince Mutswun Guma with the only goal after 8 minutes, pouncing on an error. Waterford had Kyle Ferguson sent off with half an hour to go. Longford's Dara Doyle on the way. But first of all, the Waterford manager, Kevin Sheedy.
It's been coming. I mean, all the games we've played up to now, we've deserved to get at least something from the game. We've conceded last minute goals that have cost us. So today, again, we were down to 10 men for nearly 30 minutes, and the effort and commitment the players showed. I was just disappointed there wasn't a crowd here, because I said to the lads, you'd have got a standing ovation after the effort and work rate that the supporters would have seen you put in. But it's reward for what they've been doing, and now they've got the bonus of getting another win for all the hard work, and it'll do good for the confidence. We picked up another red card and a few bookings, so the squad is stretched, but from our point of view, we had four academy players on the bench today, so they've had a great match day experience. They've been with the first team, they've warmed up on the pitch, they've watched the game from this with the players, and they've heard and they've seen the emotion of winning a game like this means, and it's good for their education that they were able to experience that.
Now, there was all sorts of reports during the week, but was that a storm in a teacup? Is that something that happens in any club?
I think it happens most clubs. At some stage, there's loads of speculation. With social media now, somebody guesses at something and puts it on there, then all of a sudden it's big news sort of thing. So we just really concentrated. We spoke to the players, got them to just fully focus on training and the games, and we've not made any comments. You don't comment and things like that, so we've just got on with it, and we've got the result today, which is a good week.
I think from 30 minutes on we were in control of the game. Like I say, we got punished by the early mistake, and that gave them something to hang on to for the rest of the game, which to be fair to them, they did. They slowed things down, they tried to make it as difficult as possible for us, and when they went down to 10 men, we felt we needed to push on a bit more. We changed our formation, we're trying to put two up top and another player off them, and I mean, it didn't work for us today, and that's unfortunate. But if, like I said, one of the goals go in, you might kick on, but we weren't able to do that today.
That's Dara Doyle, the Longford manager. The big game of the weekend, of course, took place on Friday night at Tallaght Stadium. Shamrock Rovers 2, Bohemians 1. Dylan Watts opened the scoring for the Hoops. Ross Tierney with a well-worked equaliser for Bulls. And then the key moment when Danny Mandrew went down under a challenge from James Finnerty. Red card for Finnerty, and Graham Burke scored from the penalty spot. That with 14 minutes to go. Both managers now, Keith Long shortly. And first of all, the Hoops manager, Stephen Bradley.
It's always nice to win, especially against a Dublin rival, so delighted.
It was a high-quality game, a really entertaining game for the viewers. Just a pity the crowd wasn't here.
Yeah, it is just a pity, but maybe too entertaining for my liking. We were a bit open at times in transitions, but overall, the players were excellent.
Now, terrific opening goal, and as you say, the movement in the build-up to it was probably what made it, and Dylan Watts, his second of the season.
Yeah, I thought first half was some of our best play that we've had this season. It looked like we really clicked and gelled, and our movements are good, our timing was good, and we get the goal off the back of it. We had a few others, and good finish by Dylan in the end.
Now, the fact that you let Bohemians back into the game, how worrying is that from your point of view?
Yeah, like I said, it comes from sloppy defending. We're really disappointed with that from our point of view. But to be fair, they should have scored one just before that. So, look, it evened itself out.
Aaron Green probably should have scored one as well. He'd be kicking himself.
Yeah, he should score, Aaron. I think he knows that. He tries to be too clever with it instead of just rolling it in, but he's all around game, and what he gives us is fantastic.
Now, can I ask you of your view of the penalty? You'll obviously say it was, but it looked like it was harsh enough, and then 100%
you had the penalty, Tony.
Well, then the red card to follow as well. Did that ruin the game?
I don't really care, to be honest. We've had enough of them go against us in these games. And tonight it's gone for us. It's a penalty, it's a red card, we win the game.
Keith, you won't be surprised that we're still talking about the penalty that decided the outcome of the game, really.
Yeah.
There's a concept called double jeopardy. It's the prosecution of a punishment twice for the same offence.
I said it to the fourth official, so I didn't really get a full explanation, I'm sure, but I said it to the referee, or to the fourth official, when it happened.
If we had VAR in this league, would that have made a difference, do you think, or...?
Yeah, well, it's not a penalty. I don't think it's a penalty. So I think he reversed the decision if we have VAR, yeah. Yeah.
How pleased were you with your team's performance overall?
I'm really pleased. I thought the boys were outstanding tonight. We've come here and we played Rovers off the park at times. And, we were unlucky with one or two chances, and we feel we probably, with Liam Borrell's challenge, we're not quite sure. I have to see that one back. Referee deemed it to be a yellow card. But ultimately, we lost the game. It's we feel it's a bad decision that's gone against us tonight. And but I can ask no more of the players. Absolutely brilliant tonight. Players have worked ever so hard. They ran themselves into the ground, even down to 10 men. And we continue to create chances. And we did have chances in the game. And we need to start taking those chances if we're going to try and turn that round. So, but performance-wise, absolutely outstanding to a man. Couldn't be prouder of them.
So there you go. That's the roundup of the weekend. As I mentioned, we'll be hearing very shortly from Rory Higgins. But let's start with the big game of the weekend. Shamrock Rovers 2, Bohemians 1. Mark Roster, formerly of Dundalk and also Bohemians, joins us. Mark, first of all, actually, I tell you what, we'll go round the table on this one because the big talking point was penalty or no. So yes or no, lads, as we go around the table. We'll start with you, Mark. Mark, penalty for Shamrock Rovers, yes or no?
No.
No, that's a very definite no. Shep.
Yeah, as a man who used to love seeing penalties be given against Bows, even for me, this isn't a penalty. It was very, very soft.
Come on, James. Is there a yes? A yes, no, James?
100% not a penalty. 100%. Referee got it wrong.
And no is, again, the verdict. So, very difficult one, Mark, for Bohemians to take. In case people didn't see it, a coming together. In fact, it was just well, I'll let you describe it, Mark. It would involve Danny Mandrew and James Finnerty.
Do you know what it was? I can understand why McLaughlin gave the penalty on a first glance. And look, he doesn't get the replay and there's no VAR to have a look back on. But, you know, more so to the point, I can't believe he gave a red card because it wasn't cynical. It was a coming together of two players. You know, I think everybody was a bit flabbergasted that he gave a penalty, but to send him off as well, I thought was very, very, very harsh. I thought if somebody makes a genuine attempt, they call it the triple threat or whatever it is, that he can't give a red card. And to be honest, I didn't think that there was anything cynical about it that made it look like he was trying to pull Mandrew down. So, look, you know, I think Scales after the game in his interview summed it up perfectly. He said, look, people from Rover's side are going to turn around and say it was a penalty and Bowles are going to say it's not. So, you know, it was given the score that won the game and unfortunately for Bowles, they came away with nothing.
Shep, can you see it from the referee's point of view? Because, you know, you've been there. You know, he's watching it in real time. There's contact, which nowadays, you know, they say if a player, you know, if there's contact and a player goes down, then you're going to get a penalty kick. There was contact and it was happening at speed.
Yeah, it was. Look, it was happening at speed. And again, he's one of the best refs in the league. So you can see why he's made the mistake. And to send him off, I suppose, in his eyes, he's following the letter of the law. But I suppose when Finnerty falls over, he might have thought that not only was there hands, but he may have stood on him and fallen over through that. But again, I watched it back maybe 5 or 6 times, see if he did. He didn't. It was just, I suppose, a slight nudge he gave him. And look, Mandrew does what all forwards do. He went down and he made the ref make a decision. And look, in terms of the ref's decision, it was probably the wrong one at the end of the day.
Yeah, James, as Mark mentioned there, that's the double whammy, isn't it? You get a penalty given against you and your player gets the red card. You could see after the game that Keith Long was absolutely simmering.
Yeah, you can see that. Like, there's an incident in the game that would even incense you even more. And that's the one, I think it's Bert makes his way inside of Gannon early in that half, and Gannon takes him down, and that one there is cynical, and Gannon gets a yellow card for that, and it's a free kick just outside the box. So if you look at that I felt that was a much more cynical tackle than the one that led to the penalty. But again, Paul is one of the best referees we have. He has to make a decision in an instant. The linesman is on that side as well. I think the linesman's flagged for it as well. So between himself and his linesman's closest to it, they make the decision. The red card is probably, as far as the double jeopardy is concerned, probably a little bit harsh in that situation as well.
Yeah, Bowes on 7 points now, Mark. They're 10 points off the pace setters, St. Pat's and Shamrock Rovers. They'll take a lot of the positives, of course, but it's been a difficult start to the season for the club, hasn't it?
Yeah, and like I was going into that game, I'd been at the Sligo Rovers game a couple of days previous to it, and looking into the Dublin Derby, I feared big style for Bowes going into it because, you know, Shamrock Rovers are littered with talent everywhere. Burke is flying. You know, is it going to be, you know, Aaron Green up front, or, you know, they've got a great squad to pick from, and they're winning games. They're doing what champions do, whether it be in the, you know, in the first half or scoring goals from the halfway line or scoring in the 95th minute against Drogheda. they're doing, they're going about their business really well while, you know, he's making changes every game. But I thought against Sligo, Bulls were very, very poor. So I feared for them going into the game. Buckley was a huge loss for them in the middle, and I didn't understand why Ward wasn't playing that particular game, because in the Rovers game, Tierney, Ward and Burt were very, very good. And Ali Coote and Buckley in the middle, I thought they were very unfortunate to come away with not a draw anyways. You know, Burt had a chance in the first half, but Aaron Green, I suppose, had a chance as well. So I thought a draw on the night would have been a fair result, but, you know, the penalty changes everything. And, you know, like, I think from a neutral point of view, I just thought it was a great show for the league, for anybody who was watching it, because, you know, it was end-to-end stuff, and it was a brilliant Dublin derby.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it, Shep? The matches between these two over the last few years, they've been just must-watch events. From a Shamrock Rovers perspective, what way do you think Stephen Bradley is looking at the season so far? Because they've been playing the get-out-of-jail card a couple of times with late goals. They got a stroke of good fortune, arguably, with the penalty decision. You get a sense there's more to come from Shamrock Rovers, or maybe not. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I do think there is. They certainly haven't clicked in the top end of the pitch anyway. I think Sean Hoare has been a fantastic signing for them so far, and so has Sean Gannon. I think them two have possibly been, along with Liam Scales, have been their best players so far this season. I think when you look at it, if they could add a bit of pace in up top, then they'd be a real, real threat. I think that's the only thing they're missing at times. Bowes were pushing up really high on them, and I think that's where it started to pen them back in, and they didn't have the pace to get behind. But Stephen Bradley's probably delighted at the moment, because when you're winning games and you're not playing great, it's a sign of a championship winning team. And if they keep doing that and keep taking off the wins, they'll finally start to click as a team. And when they do that, I'd be very worried to be playing against them.
Yeah, certainly shaping up very nicely. In fact, the title race in general. James, St. Pat's, they've been motoring along very quietly, going about their business, chalking up the wins. As it stands, they're ahead of Shamrock Rovers on goal difference, both on 17 points. But they did the job that was required against Finn Harps on Friday night. How impressed have you been about St. Pat's so far this season?
I think they've been very, very good. I think the fact that they're letting in very few goals as well. I think the goalkeeper himself was an absolutely brilliant signing, bringing him in on loan. As you were at the game as well Friday night, Adrian, it was a really good encounter, really. But Pat's just controlled it, and when they needed to take advantage, they did. The second goal in particular was a really, really well worked goal, a good strike. But yeah, I've been impressed with them. I think Stevens. Well, we say Alan or Stephen, which one do we say? The manager is finally putting the stamp that he wants on it. So, it seems to be going in the direction they wanted to. He may have been a bit upset with the way it went last season, but definitely this season it started a whole lot better, and there's more of an O'Donnell identity on this team now.
Yeah, what have you made of St. Pat so far, Mark?
I think they've been brilliant. Do you know what? I watched them last season. I haven't had a chance to see them in reality this year, you know, just watching the League of Ireland on the app. And I think they've been very impressive. They squeeze really high. Forrester looks like he's back in great form, which is brilliant to see, because he's a phenomenal player. And he'll dictate for them. But I think, like, I watched a lot of Sligo last year, and I was a big fan of Coughlin if he could add goals to his game, because technically he's very, very good and brings players into play really well. And if you get the ball into him, he can create for his team. And, you know, I think they've just been impressive all round. Ian Birmingham back in the team and doing really well. I haven't seen the keeper, but anybody that I speak to has said he is outrageous. So, you know, he's trying, bringing in John Mountney as well, somebody who for the last 9-10 years has done really well in the league, and, you know, has come from, I suppose, sides with a winning mentality. So it just adds to that, and they've been very impressive so far. First game of the season against Shamrock Rovers, you know, taking the lead and ending up getting a draw. So yeah, they're impressive, and it's nice to see, because, you know, when fans come back, Richmond will be rocking. So it's good for the league to have another team now, with Dundalk not really, I suppose, going too well at the minute. So it's good to see another Dublin team, you know, and hopefully Bowes will come back as well. So
Vítězslav Jaros, the keeper on loan, of course, from Liverpool, has been superb so far for St. Pat's. They've only conceded 3 goals in the campaign so far. Shep, they look like a team that's going to sustain this challenge, don't they? I mean, it's still very early, but it's been a very solid start.
Yeah, it has. And I suppose everyone's been talking about how well Chris Forrester has done. You have Matty Smith up top, Ronan Coughlin. But for me, the unsung hero at the moment has been Jamie Lennon. He was fantastic against Finn Harps. He, I suppose, kept putting out fires that any time Finn Harps went forward, he was there to, I suppose, put out the danger really quick. And in terms of his overall play on the ball, everyone knows what quality he has. He's a very good player. But their front three for me is really exciting. And the best thing for me as well is they also have, I suppose, strength and depth and coming off the bench as well. They have young Ben McCormack. They brought on Shane Griffin and Alfie Lewis as well. And didn't even bring on Dara Burns, who was in flying form going into the game. So overall, I suppose Stevie O'Donnell's, I say, delighted with how they've started. But knowing him, he'll be, I suppose, determined to keep on winning and make sure that they hang on to the coattails of Shamrock Rovers and make sure that when it comes into the final round of games that they're there, thereabouts.
I think that's a great point you make there, Shep. And Mark's made it before. There's two players who are playing within themselves now, Lennon and Forrester. I think Lennon in particular seems to have matured a lot in that midfield and realised that he's the one that needs to break up stuff and not lose his head like he has done in previous years. Like, you've seen him last season even getting a couple of stupid yellow cards from mouth and back or what have you, the referees, but now he seems to have matured into that he's going to be the one that's going to dig them out, push them forward, and then it's up to Forrester then to create off the back of that. I think that pairing there has been excellent so far this season and has given them the impetus they need.
Mark, just a word on Finn Harps. Obviously, super start to the season for Ollie and the lads, and there were, you know, big wins early on, but just 1 point from the last three. Now, it was a very tough schedule, three games in the space of a week, and Ollie in that interview even conceded that perhaps the third game caught up with them. But, you know, after that great start, just 1 point in the last three, and they got Shamrock Rovers coming on Friday night, so he'll be hoping that his side can get back to some sort of decent form and get amongst the goals again.
Yeah, and do you know what it is? Like, when teams like Shamrock Rovers come, players will try to raise their game anyway. So the Shamrock Rovers game is like a free punt for a team like Finn Harps. They're expected to be, you know, fighting for relegation the way that they have been. So for them to be on top of the table after three games, you know, everybody was, I suppose, neutrals would turn around and be delighted because Ollie's a great character in the league. So, you know, I think to be honest, he won't be looking down on the last three games too much with 1 point because, you know, the first three games he'd done really well. So, you know, to have them points on the board, I think he'll be happy. He'll be pushing them. And look, with Finn Harps teams, you'll know you'll get 100% all the time. So, you know, if Shamrock Rovers, you know, don't turn up, they could easily get turned over. And that's the way that the league is at the minute. So, you know, I think Finn Harps will be enough. I think they've got enough to finish comfortable this year. So I don't think he'll be too hard on his players at the minute.
And Mark, an important win for your old club, your other old club, Dundalk, winning the Louth Derby by 2-1, their very first win of the season. What have you made of what's gone on at Dundalk over the last wee while?
Looking from the outside, looking in, it's been a shambles. And it hasn't been, like, literally just at the start of the season, all last year as well. So it's at this particular time, I'd love if they get in a manager who has the required, you know, licenses in place, brings in his own staff and can try to put his own stamp on it. I think Derry were very cute in what they've done with regards to Rory Higgins getting it tied up early doors, because it would have been, you know, for two people knowing the club inside out, I would have said Rory Higgins or Stevie O'Donnell. Stevie O'Donnell's only putting a stamp on Pats and I don't think he would have left, but Rory could have been a definite maybe. And, you know, I hope they return to some kind of form because they still are littered with quality. They've brought in so many new faces, it's going to take them time to gel, but you still have the old guard there and the likes of Chris Shields, right? You've lost Gartland for the season. But Cleary, Andy Boyle, you know, they still have the nucleus of what has been a successful squad. Davey McMillan and Pat Hoban up front. So, you know, there's players there that are capable of turning it around, but it just hasn't been clicking. So hopefully winning the Louth Derby, that might spur them into some kind of form.
Okay, well, you mentioned Rory Higgins there, so it's opportune that we should hear from him. Of course, a big win for him in his very first game in charge, beating Sligo Rovers as manager of Derry by a goal to nil at the weekend. 36 years of age, of course, from Limavady, very much associated with Derry City down through the years. Also went on to play for Dundalk and enjoy success there, winning the league in 2014. But a winning start for him as manager. And after the game, I caught up with him at the Showgrounds.
I think it was a very good team performance. There wasn't many chances at either end, but defensively I felt we were very, very good and restricted them to limited chances, and I would hope to improve over the coming weeks in terms of our attack and play and keep possession of the ball. It's a huge win. It gets us up and running and it gives the lads confidence that they deserve. And in my very, very brief day here, that they've taken on instruction very, very quickly, and we've got a hell of a chance with this group of players because their honesty is second to none.
How special a day was it for you on a personal level taking charge of Derry City, a club with you're so synonymous with for so many years?
Of course it's special. Actually, very emotional taking the first team talk and all that sort of stuff. So I'm delighted to be in the position. I left a brilliant job with FAA, but there was probably only one club I would have taken on at this point in my career, and that's this club. And I'm just delighted to be here, and I'm delighted with the start.
Was it difficult to leave the international setup? Because obviously you had such a close relationship over the years with Stephen Kenny.
It was very difficult. I owe the man so much. He's been amazing to me in my career as a player, as a coach, and I owe him everything. And I'm just delighted that he gave me the permission to take the job, and I'm very grateful for that.
Was he understanding of the opportunity that was standing in your way?
Stephen's managed this club. He knows the size of it. He loves the club himself, and he knows what the club means to me. So, he was very respectful and didn't stand in my way. And I can't thank him enough.
It's a great start. What do you feel are the challenges you face now as a manager?
Just initially stabilise it and get us climbing the table. And long term, you have to be ambitious and you have to try and strive towards getting back to the top end of Irish football. And hopefully over the period of my contract that we can do that.
You brought in Rafael Cretala, a player you played with at the Bohemians a few years back. Your plans to bring in at least one other person to the manager set up the relationship?
Yeah, I'll take my time in making that appointment, make sure it's the right one. But we have a really good staff here. I'm delighted with it. We all know our roles. We're all very united. But there will be one more addition. And I don't know how long it'll be, but I want to pick the right one.
And you mentioned the pre-match team talking, that was a bit emotional for you. Did you feel that the players then responded to that team talk and took it out onto the pitch?
I hope so. I don't know. You'd have to ask them. Listen, it's been a very, very strange 48 hours. Obviously, my first manager's job. So to get that reaction out of them in such a short space of time, I'm delighted with it.
Well, Mark Rossiter played alongside Rory Higgins for both Bohemians and Dundalk. I'll get his thoughts very shortly. But James, as our resident Derry City man on the podcast, let me get your thoughts on the events of the last week. Firstly, Declan Devine leaving the hot seat and Rory Higgins appointed within a matter of, 24 hours or so?
Yeah, Declan leaving. It's sad to see any person lose their job, especially in football when you know them so well and how good they are and how much they love the club. I did mention a couple of weeks ago that I thought he was under pressure. But then I honestly thought the game against Drogheda and the game against Dundalk, I thought there was something coming out of them two games where they looked a little bit better and a little bit more cohesive. And then to hear that he lost the job in between and how quick they moved to get Rory. I've spoken to a couple of people in Dundalk who were there with Rory and had Rory as a coach and stuff like that. And they said he's absolutely fantastic as a coach. Absolutely wonderful coach. And were shocked that Dundalk didn't move from before Derry did, to tell you the truth. Now, as we all know, Rory has been with Derry on two separate occasions, was absolutely fantastic for the club, loves the club down to the ground. So no better way to get a start off than a win away at Sligo, when most people would have been looking at that as probably another loss to Derry. But it was a very good professional performance from the whole team, and the one goal that did come was enough, and Rory would be happy out with that. He just needs to now think about that assistant manager role and who he puts in beside him to help him and take some pressure off his young shoulders, as it is for management and for a first job. It's one hell of a job to get.
Mark, when you played alongside him at Bohemians and again at Dundalk, did you see a potential manager in Rory Higgins? Did he strike you as that kind of individual?
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody who shared a dressing room with Rory Higgins or Stephen O'Donnell, they're football fanatics. They literally are. Their attention to detail is second to none. Higgins, I suppose, with the job that he was doing for Dundalk under Stephen, initially from the scouting the opposition, he had to be quite meticulous in everything and all his information, and Stephen a challenge you on that. So when he went to the national team, it'll have been heightened even more. So look, at Rory is going to do everything for these players, leave no stone unturned, to give them every bit of information to help them, I suppose, develop and play the way that he wants to. And I suppose from Rory's point of view, take them back to where them great Derry teams in, say, 2008 were, you know, challenging for cup finals and, you know, being in Europe. And to be honest, if you have a team like that, the Derry fans will be out in their thousands to get behind them. So I think for the league in general, I think that'd be brilliant to see the likes of Derry and Cork and stuff like that, you know, coming back and making it a more competitive league as a whole.
And Shep, no job is easy, of course, but I have to say, like, Rory Higgins has a lot of good players at his disposal. Some very fine players at Derry, aren't there?
There is, yeah. And I suppose what they do have, they have an abundance of young players, and I suppose they're coming through and they've got a lot of quality. You look at his front line, he has David Parkhouse there, who is lit up the league before. All he's missing now at the moment is a bit of confidence. His all-around gameplay is brilliant. He works his socks off and he brings people into play, and Will Patching in behind them, they really look like they've struck a partnership. But for me, it's just, can he get David Parkhouse firing? Because if he does, he's got a striker there who can score 10 to 15 goals easily this year. And on the other side of that, he also has some very good young attacking players. As I said, you talk about Jack Malone in there as well, and Brendan Barr, who's done really well in recent weeks. So you have very, very good attacking players, and William Fitzgerald as well. So he's got abundance of players there. And again, he's brought in Raf Cartaro, who knows the league and knows how to get goals. So him working alongside David Parkhouse might be a bit of, I suppose, genius from bringing him in.
Okay. All right. And just before we wrap up the Premier Division, James, just a word on the RSC. Waterford against Longford Town, and it was an important win for Waterford at the end of a very difficult week, because there was all kinds of speculation going on social media that Kevin Sheedy and Mike Newell were leaving the club behind. And obviously Kevin Sheedy is still there, and he guided his team to a victory over Longford Town, that early goal from Prince. But big, big win for Waterford so early in the season.
Yeah, it was a massive win. They needed it. It was the bottom three really going into the weekend of Dundalk, Derry and Waterford who needed to get their first wins. They were gifted the goal, it must be said. Prince's goal was absolutely gifted to them. And then the sending off as well in the second half was a little bit odd. There seemed to be an elbow raised. Did a contact? I'm not too sure. The referee decided that was the sending off. And then they had to weather a massive Longford storm towards the end and see it out. But Prince as well, actually, from another mistake just on half time, should have made it 2-0. And yeah, they'll be happy. From stories coming out from the camp, it hasn't been a happy camp, especially around training grounds. But anything, 3 points should settle it down a bit, and hopefully any drama happening behind the scenes can now go away and they can settle into doing a good season, because they've had a couple of good seasons since they were promoted, and it'd be a shame to see behind the scenes kind of stuff fall it down and put them into danger of dropping back to the First Division.
Okay, well, we leave the Premier Division. Before we do, actually, Mark, because you're obviously taking in a lot of football at the moment, do you think it's going to be a really intriguing title race, or do you expect perhaps it'll be St. Pat's and Shamrock Rovers battling it out, or can the likes of Derry, Dundalk force their way back up the table? What are your thoughts? I know it's still very early in the campaign.
I'd be surprised if any team comes within 10 points of Shamrock Rovers, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, because you're looking at games where they're not hitting full throttle and they're still grinding, you know, say the Mandrew header to beat Drogheda. It's, look, when teams are on the top, they get them little bouts of luck where, you know, they'll get a goal in the 95th minute. I'm sure Carl Shepherd got a load of them over the years. But, I mean, it's all clicking and going their way at the minute. So when they do hit, I be honest, I think they'll blow everyone away, because they have the strength and depth. Like, you're looking at players like Dylan Watts comes off and Ronan Finn comes on, and you know, it's you're not, I suppose, taking out somebody out of your, say, starting 11 and they're dropping, like, I don't mean that in the way it sounds, but they're not dropping a level with the player that's coming on. You're looking at, you know, Rory Gaffney as well, who to be honest, I thought he'd be starting every game, and I believe, I don't know what his fitness is like or, you know, with regards to that, but, you know, their squad is ridiculous. And, you know, I know that Carl just said there about Scales. Scales, to me, is the best young player in the league. And I think because he's a defender or he's playing, he's amazing. Every time I watch him, I'm impressed with him. And I honestly, God, think that they'll win it at a canter, to be honest.
Oh, well, okay. Would you go along with that, Chip?
I definitely go along with the fact that I've scored a load of last-minute winners. Cheers, Mark. No, I definitely go along with the fact that they have such an amazing squad at the moment. When you look at their attacking options, the players they bring on, as he said, you have Rory Gaffney, a player who'd pretty much start for any other team in the league, and he's having to sit on the bench. And then there's other times where you look at Sean Kavanagh, what a player he is, and he's on the bench as well at the moment. They even dropped Ronan Finn on the weekend, and these are players who walk into any other team in the league. They've such an abundance of quality. But I do think that the window will tell a lot, the next transfer window. If Shamrock Rovers, who reportedly are bringing in Richie Towell, if they go and sign another striker, maybe a winger with pace, I do think that they'll probably start to pull away from the other teams. You look at Bowes, they've started slow, and Sligo and Pats, while they're doing great now, they don't have that experience of being there and challenging. And when the games start to get gritty towards the end of the season, they don't have that know-how yet. But I suppose it's up to the other teams to cling on to the coattails of Shamrock Rovers.
All right, listen, we leave the Premier Division there. Mark Rossiter, many thanks for joining us on the RT Soccer Podcast. In the First Division over the course of the weekend, Athlone Town 3, Wexford 0. Adrian Carberry and the lads keep on keeping on. Jamie Hollywood, James Duna and Shane Barnes with the goals there. Galway United 2, UCD 2, Cabinteely 1, Shelburne 3. Shelburne keeping on as well. Michael O'Connor with a penalty. Shane Farrell with a terrific goal. And Kevin O'Connor, the scorers there. Cove Ramblers 1, Bray Wanderers 1. And Treaty United won the Munster Derby, beating Cork City by 2-1. Anthony O'Donnell with the lead goal after 31 minutes, cancelled out by Keane Coleman. The winner from Matt Keane, 12 minutes from time. And I'm delighted to say the Treaty manager, Tommy Barrett, is on the line. Tommy, well done. Very good start to the season. How happy are you with the way it's all started?
Yeah, Adrian, we're very happy. You know, especially considering the short time frame we had to get the team together. So, yeah, we're delighted. Probably could be a few more points better off. But, you know, look, we said from the start we'd take it game by game, and we're really happy with the first 5 games.
Yeah, it's still very early at Athlone Town, leading the way on 13 points from their 5 games. Treaty United back currently in 4th position on 9, the same as UCD, who lie 3rd at the moment. Just tell us a little bit about the squad, you know, because as you said, you had a very short period of time to get the squad together. Where did you draw them from?
Yeah, it was mostly lads that I kind of knew already, Adrian, because it was such a short time to get them together with 3 days. So it was like under-19s, I would have worked with Limerick FC before, and so we have, you know, 9 or 10 players from Limerick. We have 5 players from Clare, 5 from Tipperary. We've 2 lads from Galway, 2 lads from Cork, and we've 2 lads from Kerry, and we've 1 lad from Dublin. So we've 5 of the 6 counties in Munster represented, and 1 lad from Dublin. So that's the mix of our squad.
And obviously at the moment, with no fans allowed to go to matches, you know, that's a difficulty. But in terms of the interest locally in Limerick, in Treaty, what's the feedback you've been getting so far about, you know, people, football followers and the club? Are they warming to the club? Because Limerick fans, of course, have known so many disappointments down through the years.
Yeah, they are. It seems to be a real positive energy around the place, you know, not just in Limerick, but also like in the surrounding counties like Clare and Tipperary and Kerry, you know, North Kerry in particular. So we're delighted with the response, and even, you know, the club had put out a cry out for membership as well there recently, and, you know, I think we had 300 members now paying in, you know, close enough to it anyway, I think. So it has been a fantastic response, and, you know, across social media we can feel that positive energy around the place, so it's great. Yeah, and we can't wait to get fans back in, hopefully sooner rather than later, like every other club, I suppose. Mm.
Yeah, Tommy, you said you feel you've dropped a couple of points, but the start, you have to say, is the start above what you expected, or are you just concerned that them points were dropped?
Yeah, well, look, you know, yourself, James, we take it, as I said, we take it game by game, and we were just, I suppose in the first few games, in the first three games, particularly Bray and Wexford and Cove, we were still finding our feet. So we were very defensive and we hung on. Well, we had to hang on anyway because we three players went off, as you know. So we had no other choice. So, but I think against Galway, you know, we showed we could play a bit as well, and we started to come together a bit, and to concede in the last minute, and you know, was a bit of a sickener because we'd done so well. So we probably dropped points there when we should have picked them up, and you have to take those points because you mightn't get that chance again against Galway, you know, because they're going to get better. And you know, as Adrian said at the start of the show there, it is very early, so we have to pick up as many points as possible when we can, because we're going to be in a scrap every week. You know, we're not like the likes of Shelburne or Galway even, and UCD, where you know they can seem to score goals for fun. Well, not for fun, but they certainly can get three or four in games, and we're going to find that difficult, you know, with the makeup of our squad. So the games are going to be very tight, but yeah, it's definitely more than we expected, but that doesn't, you know, say we can rest on our laurels. We have to be, you know, up for it again on Friday, because it's a really difficult task. We're probably playing the best team in the league so far on Friday, so it'll be our biggest challenge, you know.
Yeah, away to Shelburne. I was just struck by something you said there a few moments ago, Tommy. You mentioned, you know, support, and you mentioned Clare and Tipperary and North Kerry. Is it important for a club like Treaty to not just tap into football followers within the city of Limerick and in the county of Limerick, but also the hinterland, the other areas, the other counties around North Kerry, Clare, Tipperary, etc.? Is that part of the thinking here?
Oh, it is, yeah. We're definitely a regional club, you know. The whole of the Midwest we look to tap into, because, you know, there is no other senior club really between us and between Athlone and Galway, really. And you have Tipperary there, and then we have Clare the other side of us. And as you said, like, there's nothing in Kerry. There's no senior club. I know they have League of Ireland underage, but certainly, you know, we have two lads from Kerry, and that helps. And we've always kind of got supporters, even with Limerick FC, and in from Clare and Tip in particular, and definitely West Limerick down towards Kerry. So we look to get those supporters back in. So it's definitely areas that we target all the time, you know.
Yeah, and just on a broader point, the shape of the First Division at the moment, are you surprised that Athlone Town are continuing to set the pace? I know, again, it's still just a few games in.
Not massively, you know. You can see with the players that Adrian Carberry assigned, and they're Premier level players. But, you know, you'd imagine you'd see the likes of Shelburne, Galway, Athlone, UCD, Bray, you know, they're your top teams, obviously. And then after that, you know, the Cork are very young, even though they're full-time. You know, they lack that probably bit of experience, but I think it'll change for them as well. They'll start winning a few games. So it's a really competitive division. You know, anyone, mm-hmm. like we played Wexford, and Wexford are bottom, but like they've lost a lot of their games by the odd goal. You know, they were very good against us, and you know, that could have been a draw. We could have lost that game. You know, so they're real competitive games, and you have to get a bit of luck, but you also have to be, you just have to be at it every week.
Yeah, and before we let you go, you mentioned it yourself. Another tester, of course, on Friday, going to Shelburne, who've, you know, just found a groove in the last couple of weeks. They've looked like they've found their mojo.
They have, unfortunately, yeah. You know, they're a Premier Division team in probably the First Division, you know, looking at them, you know, with the standard of player that they have. But look, you know, all we can do is do our best, and we'll do that every week, win, lose, or draw. We have a good bunch of lads, and we'll go up there with as much confidence as we can go up. And hopefully, you know, we can put in a good performance, win, lose, or draw, as we said.
Okay. All right. Listen, many thanks for joining us. That's Tommy Barrett, the manager of Treaty United. Shep, just a word on Cork City. Four defeats in a row. Tommy made the point there that they're a young side, but it's a very disappointing start for Cork, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, it's probably just as well that fans aren't able to go into the games at the moment, because I would imagine there'll be a lot more pressure on Colin Healy than there is at the moment, because they've not started well whatsoever. They got a great win against Cove, and I was thinking, okay, they might be up there for the playoffs this year. But the way they've, I suppose, played since then, I was lucky enough to go to the Athlone game, and they're really, really poor. And again, on the weekend, I suppose all reports back that I'm getting is that it was a real lack of quality. They matched Treaty for effort and, I suppose, for determination. But in terms of quality, Colin just seems to be working with very little quality within that squad. And again, to lose the Treaty, a team who has been just put together on a couple of weeks' notice, it just shows, I suppose, how tough times are at Cork City at the moment. And they really, John Cotter as well is also, I suppose, stepping away as of next week. So it's testing times for Colin at Cork.
Okay, in the Women's National League over the course of the weekend, not a good result for the Cork women's team either. They were beaten at home by DLR Wales by a goal to nil. Galway United 4, Treaty United 1, Wexford 1, Athlone Town 0. Kylie Murphy with the only goal of the game. And Bohemians 0, Piemont United 3. Tegan Ruddy, Eleanor Ryan Doyle and Becky Watkins with the goals for Piemont, who set the pace now in the Women's National League. They're on 9 points, 2 points clear of Wexford Youths and Galway. And DLR Wales, all three are on 7 points. Wexford, Galway and DLR with Piemont setting the pace. Piemont with a game in hand on both Wexford and Galway. DLR Wales, like Piemont, have only played 3 matches so far. But let's get some reaction to that Piemont win. Here's Anya Gorman.
Bows are going to set up well and we're going to make it hard for us. So we just had to be patient and finally broke them down and got three nice goals.
You definitely had to be patient in the first half. You were really, really trying, but they defended really well.
Yeah, I think so. Credit to them. They set up well and made it difficult for us. And I think we'd probably be a little bit more clinical in the final third as well. But we just had to make sure we stayed patient, not get frustrated, and we knew the goals would come.
When the goals did come, they came very quickly. A 6 minute window, I think, all three goals. That must have been brilliant for you.
Yeah, I think so. I think, I suppose our hard work paid off and we were defensively solid as well and didn't give them out and away as well. And we knew that they were going to be strong and set pieces, so we had to defend well. Yeah, and we just took our chances then, and they were nice team goals.
It's an important win on the way to looking for that third league title in a row.
Yeah, definitely. I think every game's a must-win game so far, and three wins from three, but we just have to, I suppose, keep the momentum going and keep our performances high, and we know we have tough games ahead.
You play Treaty United next week. How are you going to prepare for that?
Yeah, I think obviously we'll recover now after this game and start getting our heads on the Treaty game as well. And look, there's no easy opposition this season, I think, and everyone's difficult, so we just have to make sure we're on top of our game week in, week out.
Yeah, that game on Sunday, Treaty United against Piemont. 3 matches on Saturday, Shells against DLR Wales, Wexford Youths against Galway, and Athlone Town against Cork City. James, I reckon on Friday your eyes will be firmly fixed on Dalymount Park Bows against Derry City. That's going to be a tasty one now.
My eyes are going to be firmly fixed all over the place, Adrian, because there's five matches.
How do you do that, by the way? How do you keep a track of all the matches at the same time?
I actually have to. I generally have three machines working at the same time, and I shortlist all the games as they happen, so therefore the edits go out. But I have to say, last Tuesday I had a headache looking at five games at once, and I was glad when they all got to half time. But yeah, it'll be a cracking game, hopefully. Rory going to Dalymount for the first time in a long time, the only time as a manager, but he had some good times at Dalymount, and hopefully he has some good times again on Friday and get another win
on the match. The match is on Friday. Drogheda United against Sligo Rovers kicks off at 5:45 live on Watch LOI. James will be keeping his eyes fixed on that, and at the same time he'll be watching St. Pat's and Longford Town, which also kicks off at 5:45. And then when his eyes still haven't melted, he'll switch to 7:45 kickoffs for Bows against Derry City at Dalymount Park, Finn Harps against Shamrock Rovers at Finn Park, and Waterford against Dundalk at 7:45. The matches in the First Division over the course of the weekend. On Friday, it's Bray against Cork City, Athlone against Cabinteely, Shells against Treaty United, as we mentioned, and Wexford against UCD. And then there's one match on Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. All the First Division matches, of course, and indeed the Women's National League matches available on LOI TV. But the one match on Saturday evening is Cove Ramblers against Galway United at St. Colman's Park, which kicks off at 7 o'clock. All right, so lads, I think we'll leave it there. Any match that stands out for you, Carl, over the course of the weekend in the Premier Division?
Yeah, there's two games. You have Waterford Dundalk, the battle at the bottom, which will be an interesting game. But you also have St. Pat's against Longford. And for me, it's a game that Stevie O'Donnell should really concentrate on and make sure his team are really up for it. These are the type of games that, when you're at the top, you must win, because Longford are going to come up, they're going to make it difficult, but for Stevie and his team, it's a must win for them.
Okay, noisy games, as you say, in the Premier Division. All right, lads, we'll leave it there. We'll be back next week. Thanks to James and also to Shep and all our other guests, Tommy Barrett and also Mark Roster. Until the next time, bye-bye.